What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Miller on the Vorg Takes Feed with managing editor Sam Stein. I am taking the wheel as the driver of this Bulwark take because Sam was just having a meltdown like I've never seen in the green room. Bill O'Reilly style meltdown over his audio and visual not working. Cussing. It was truly magical. I wish we had recorded it for you guys.
What are you supposed to do when every bit of audio just doesn't work other than just go crazy? And I went crazy. And I apologize.
I just haven't seen you lose your cool like that. Sometimes, you know, and it's good to know it's in there. You know, every once in a while people are like, Sam isn't mad enough. And it's usually not your nature. You're an even keel guy. So it's good to know.
I try to be. But when your external headphones and then the plugins don't work, just can set someone off, I guess.
It's good to know that you're a man like everyone else. You breathe. You've got blood pumping through your veins. Okay. Donald Trump. Not a man like everyone else.
What a segue.
In the Oval Office today, in a gold tie, strangely, very strange, out of his normal uniform. He was there with the Vice President, J.D. Vance, as well. They took some Q&A, some hard-hitting questions from Peter Doocy at Fox News and others. I guess before you could, there are three clips in particular we wanted to talk about. But overall, I was on the call as this was happening, and I noticed it, you know, something come in from my friend John Lovett over at Cricket Media, who was just like, anyone who thinks that we should fund this man's war, like, must be forced to watch this whole press conference Clockwork Orange style, because it just betrays somebody that does not have any connection with the real world, and that's pretty concerning given the stakes here.
What part set Lovett off? Because there was like five.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. So I'm curious. So you, having watched the whole thing before we get into the clips, like, what struck you?
Well, he's got a fairly acute case of ADD because he just he can't stay on topic. So there was actually two events today. One was he did the Kennedy Center board meeting, which is really just a. His best buddies who are going to do it.
Well, and that's where he discussed how Rick Grinnell was pounding people.
Yeah, I saw your tweet on that.
He had been fired. Rick Grinnell was fired from the Kennedy Center Board. Rick Grinnell wanted to be the Secretary of State. He wanted to be the Vice President. That was the reporting. Rick Grinnell.
Rick wanted to be Vice President?
Only gay friend, yeah. Wanted to be Vice President, then wanted to be Secretary of State. He's so detestable. In interpersonal relationships, that like Susie Wiles was like, I cannot be on conference calls with this man. He cannot be in the cabinet. So he got pushed aside. He didn't get a job. His job that he was then eventually given was stereotypically the head of the arts theater. And he turned people off so much there that he had to be pushed aside from that as well. And explaining what happened, Trump was talking about how Rick was giving the artists a pounding. And that's, you know, maybe not what you should be doing at work, in the workplace.
And I saw, I saw how you picked up on that news. Let's
not so anyway, dwell that on. Was one press conference.
Yeah. Well, let's just pause for a second because we're in the middle of this war and things are dicey. I'm being charitable. And this man is just like spending a couple hours in the middle of his day talking about the marble seating at the Kennedy Center. It's just like, you kind of sit back. You're like, okay, why are we doing any time whatsoever on this? So that was one thing. And then the other thing is just, you know, he's pressed on sort of, well, you've destroyed them, but you haven't. And you said countries are going to help us, but they aren't. And so it's like, there's absolutely no details or specifics. So it's like, well, what countries are you talking to? And he's like, well, I don't want to say. It's like, well, you know, who are you talking to? Everyone's really complimentary of how we're doing things. You know, did you anticipate this stuff? Of course we did. It's like, I don't know what Lovett was referring to, but at various points I was just like, just doesn't seem like he's on top of it.
You don't say.
No.
Okay. Well, there are a couple of clips in particular from social media that caught my eye. And so I would like to play those. I guess we'll start first with with two clips from Trump himself and then one from JD. The first one I want to play is, He gets asked a question by Ducey, you know, kind of about whether some of this should have been foreseeable. And he doesn't think so. Let's watch.
You were talking about Iran a couple times today and what they did after
get out of the shot.
Fury began. You said they hit Qatar, Saudi Arabia,
get out of the shot.
Bahrain, Kuwait. Nobody expected that. We were shocked. Are you surprised that nobody briefed you ahead of time that that might be their retaliation?
Nobody. The greatest experts. Nobody thought they were going to hit. They were, I wouldn't say friendly countries. They were like neutral. They lived with them for years. Peter, they were going to take over the Middle East. They were going to knock out Israel with their nuclear weapon. But after we knocked out their nuclear potential weapon, they started building missiles, thousands and thousands of missiles. And they were going to do it with missiles while they developed. These are sick people.
Now, there's a lot to unpack there.
Is there?
Yeah. The top level is just like a total hallucination about like what it really was happening in the Middle East. And that's a problem. I guess there are a few elements. Number one, the nobody expected Iran to attack the other countries in the Middle East, you know, where we have bases. And they did this last time. It's just like they attacked the other countries where we have bases last time. Anybody who knew anything about the region knew that Iran would do that. Then there's the element about they're going to nuke Israel. I don't know. I guess let's focus first on the Arab countries. The fact that the Trump said nobody expected this, nobody briefed him on it, totally blindsided.
One, you're right. Like they did this last time. They talked to all these countries. And two, I have a feeling like my guess is that we're going to get like some sort of white paper that was produced by the NSC. That's like, actually, yeah, this is exactly what we expected. It reminds me of the Strait of Hormuz thing where it's just like, well, no one could have anticipated that they'd shut down the Strait. And then it turns out, yeah, that's like in every single game planning scenario for how the Iranians would deal with this. So I don't think that one's going to hold up particularly well.
And it continues. I mean, I'm just looking at this like as like we're talking right now, as we're taping this, as he was talking this afternoon on Monday, you know, Iran hit today an oil and gas field in the UAE, hit an oil field in Iraq. Saudi Arabia is being targeted by drone swarms.
So I will say, I mean, I found it at first kind of surprising that the Iranians were doing this, right? It's because conventionally, like, well, why would you widen the war and bring in more countries potentially? But it's clear. I mean, I don't think they did this non-strategically, right? I think they clearly calculated, like, we're going to make this painful for everyone involved, and we're going to go after U.S. assets in the region, and we're going to make oil so expensive that these countries are going to cry uncle. And I think that's essentially what they're doing.
And that is, and JVL wrote about this last week in his tribe. You can go read it. Like, that is, like, obviously it was going to be their strategy. Maybe not the specifics of every, you know, tactic, but, like, this notion of we're going to make this painful. We can't beat them in a war of, like, who bombs who more. You know, we're going to get points on the board for like most successful missiles landed. Like they're not going to win that against the United States and Israel. But you can cause enough pain that the United States and Israel decides it's not worth it. Or the United States in particular decides it's not worth it.
Or the Arab countries are just like, hey, make this stop.
The Arab countries Trump's in business with and that he's allies with. So there's that. I do just want to sit for one more second on the Israel thing. Because Trump like keeps doing the thing. And Marco, they keep doing the thing where they like say that they did the war for Israel, which I don't think is helpful to their mission or toward their ally Israel or anything. And Trump just being like, yeah, Iran was going to nuke Israel. And then so we had to do it. And they were going to go. And they had, I forget exactly what Trump said, but something about how they're going to go take over the whole region. And it's like they weren't. The Iranian regime was as weak as they have been in decades.
Right.
And like we had supposedly obliterated their nuclear program. Like the idea that like not even the most hawkish Likud people in Israel I don't think would say that they like were going to get nuked imminently.
Maybe the most hawkish would, honestly. So let's separate two things here. One is I do think certainly for the Israelis, and I think there is a strand of foreign policy thinking that's like, yeah, this was an actual legitimate threat in the medium term, maybe even the short term, to the Israelis. That is distinct from what Trump is actually saying here, which is that they were looking for Middle East domination. And on top of that, if Israel attacked them, they would attack us, which means we had to attack first.
Yeah.
Rubio said that. That's a totally different strand of intervention, right? That's not nuclear prevention. That's like, oh, we're being dragged into this war because this other country wants to attack Iran and we're going to suffer the consequences of it. And I do think you're right to say this is not a particularly helpful strand of argument that the administration's making, because one, it means that we are basically forfeiting, if you take it to a logical extent, we're forfeiting our foreign policy decisions to another country. And two, it's absolutely turning public opinion against Israel in the United States. So,
and against Trump. Just like America First, right? I mean, certainly like the the less ideologically committed America First people.
100%.
Against it. So listen to the Tim Dillon podcast this weekend, and you'd say he's not so keen. And he had dinner with J.D. Vance not so long ago. We're going to get back to J.D. Vance in a second. But first, one other thing. Trump's looking for – he's looking for validators out there, okay? He's grasping around. He came to the defense of micropenis Mark Levin. Mark Levin has been maybe the most hostile host to Trump on Fox. Not that hostile, but like not particularly a big MAGA guy. More of an old-school neocon type guy. Trump and Mark Levin are pals now because Mark, he's saying nice things with Lord Trump. Like they blasted out Ben Shapiro's comments from the press office today. And so, they're looking for allies. Trump offered another secret private validator today. Let's show that.
I just want to ask you about something very interesting that you said twice today, that you talked to another former president about the Iran strikes.
I did.
Was it George W. Bush?
No.
Was it Bill Clinton?
I don't want to say. I don't want to say. Because
Barack Obama.
A member of a party. Sure, they have Trump derangement syndrome. Oh, but it's somebody that happens to like me, and I like that person who's a smart person. But that person said, I wish I did it. Okay, but I don't want to get into who.
Okay.
I don't want to get him into trouble. Maybe, you know what? Yeah, I think you probably know. It's interesting. And maybe he'd be proud. And I could even ask him that. Would you like me to reveal your name to Peter at Fox? At least you have high ratings. Your ratings are through the roof, Peter.
Yeah, thank you for noticing.
Congratulations.
That's the President of the United States. I mean, he's very low energy. Kind of the dentures feel like they're shaking around.
Coming out a little
He's
bit.
He's talking about an imaginary conversation. Maybe a conversation.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by ZocDoc. Life can feel like a big puzzle. You're constantly trying to fit all the pieces together. You got your career, you got your passions, you got your relationships, you got your finances. It's a lot. But finding care shouldn't be the trickiest piece to fit into everything going on. ZocDoc makes it easy for me to find and book an appointment with a doctor that I love. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone you love. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 150,000 providers across all 50 states. Whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the other 200-plus specialties offered on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or symptom to build the care team that's right for you. Want to see a doctor in person? Great. Prefer a video visit? Hey, you can do that too. Stop putting off these doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes. ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message.
I guess we should start with the imaginary president that told him that he wished he did it. Maybe it was Trump speaking to himself in the mirror because he was also a former president. That's one theory.
That's it. Okay, go on.
Okay, well, let's go through the other possibles. Definitely not Joe Biden. Okay,
If it was Joe Biden, my head will fucking explode.
They probably haven't put Joe Biden's picture up in the White House. Joe Biden's asleep a lot, and so
maybe he talked to the auto pen and thought it was Joe Biden. I don't know.
The auto pen isn't nice. Was not Barack Obama.
He said it wasn't Barack Obama.
Well, he said it wasn't George W. Bush.
He said it wasn't George W. Bush.
He said it was from someone from the other party that has Trump derangement syndrome. Bill Clinton is the only possible candidate here.
Okay.
And I think we should just bat that around for a second. Hillary has at times, there's this old clip going around from her from, I think, last year. People on social media were misinterpreting it as recently, but clip going around of her complimenting some of Trump's foreign policy stuff. So the Clintons aren't above that. Bill and Trump both have the Epstein thing in common. Trump's been nice to Bill a bunch recently on that.
He has. He has.
Like, they shouldn't go after him on this. So I wouldn't be surprised if they talked because of that. Bill likes to talk. I'm just saying, if it were someone, it would be Bill. The Clinton team has put out a statement that Bill Clinton has not talked to Trump about Iran, which was, I think, an interestingly precise statement.
I mean, it opens the door to them talking, right?
Yeah. What have they talked about?
I don't know.
It kind of raises more questions than it answers. That statement. anyway, what do you think? Could it possibly be Bill Clinton telling him that he wishes he invaded Iran?
I mean, usually how these things work is that there's like a tiny, 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 tiny kernel of truth, and Trump just absolutely exaggerates. Like, for instance, today. At the Kennedy Center event, Trump just blurted out that he warned way before 9/11 happened that Osama bin Laden was going to, you know, knock down the Twin Towers, which he did not do. In his book, he had some mention about Osama bin Laden being a shadowy figure that we should have our eyes on. But he never warned about the Twin Towers. But Trump has this thing where he takes a little tiny kernel of truth and kind of weaves some threads. So there's a possibility that maybe like, a couple months ago, a couple years ago, I don't know, something that Bill Clinton, he talked and Bill Clinton said, you know, one thing I wish I had done. So that's pretty good.
Seems like he and Bill talked. Since the Epstein stuff.
It wasn't Biden, it wasn't Obama. And maybe they didn't talk. Maybe they did talk after the Epstein stuff came out. But I don't think Bill was like, hey, I wish I had bombed Iran.
The whole thing is pretty bizarre.
Wait, why are you not complimenting my Bill? That's the first time I've done a Bill impersonation. I think it's pretty good.
It was pretty good. Was
thank I just, you. I appreciate you know, it.
I don't want to gas you up too much. Because the last comes from JD. Just overall, again, he doesn't seem to be like too sharp. I guess the president is just another observation.
He's riffing,
and that was
dude.
A very rambly riff, though. It's low energy. He looks tired. That's pretty concerning.
I am concerned. Again, though, my main concern is not necessarily that he's got low energy, which, whatever. He's playing a lot of golf. He's doing Kennedy Center stuff. He's, you know, bleeding about random shit. My concern is that he can't keep attention and that he's just drifting into weird pockets. And like, you know, normally that you can live with that because – whatever, that's him. But in this case, I think the stakes are sufficiently high that I would like him to. Well, maybe I don't want him to pay attention. I don't know. I am torn about that. I wish he was more on the ball. Let's put it that way.
Doesn't seem like he's getting good info. And here is another, maybe a little bit piece of evidence of that. JD Vance, standing over Trump's shoulder, is asked about his past statements about Iran, whether he has any concerns. He does. The hall monitor finger wag thing. It's hard for me to watch JD, really.
I know it gets your blood going.
Let's just do it. He's just so unfucking annoying.
We're already calling you the fraud czar. What's your reaction to that title? And then second.
Good title.
Second, given your past skepticism of foreign adventurism, are you completely on board with the current war in Iran?
So I like fraud czar. It's certainly what we're going to do. And look, we have to do it. As the president said, this is a problem that has festered in this country for far too long, and far too few people have actually wanted to do anything about it. That's what makes this administration different, is that we actually tackle the problems the American people have been confronting. So I'm very happy about it.
A lot of fraud tackling.
I think that I know what you're trying to do, Phil. You're trying to drive a wedge between members of the administration, between me and the president. What the president said consistently, going back to 2015, and I agreed with him, is that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon. We have taken this military action under the president's leadership. I think all of us, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, should pray for a success and pray for the safety of our troops. That's the approach that I've taken. Make it as successful as possible.
So there's no hesitation, given your past statements, with the current operation?
What do you mean there's no hesitation with my past statements?
Given your skepticism of foreign adventurism, you were a critic of the global war on terror previously.
Well, I think one big difference, Phil, is that we have a smart president, whereas in the past we've had dumb presidents. And I trust President Trump to get the job done, to do a good job for the American people, and to make sure that the mistakes of the past aren't repeated. Absolutely.
That's fascinating. I know you hate the guy, but like, that was a really fascinating clip. Never, I mean, okay, so... He's asked a pretty simple question. are you on board with this operation? Are you on board? It's a yes or no question. And he never says yes, ever. Never says yes. And then he's asked a follow-up question. He's like, so there's no hesitations. And he never says, no, no hesitations. He says, I trust Donald Trump's leadership where others have failed. He says, we should all be praying for success. And he says, you're trying to drive a wedge between me and Donald Trump. Never once does he say, I support what's happening here. Ever. Wild.
He's good at weasel words. He's very good at weasel words.
I don't think that was that good. I think he's deliberately trying to create distance. I think he's deliberately trying to not have his fingerprints on this.
That's not going to work.
No, of course not. It absolutely will not work. But I think he's trying to preserve the possibility. I mean, they leaked to the whatever paper that he was against it, except he wanted to go big. I think he's trying to preserve the possibility that he can say, I was against this thing.
He might be trying to do that. I don't know. It ain't going to work. And I also caught that we pray for the troops. We pray right, for right. the success. It's just like, well, sure. But what about... like, do we think that there's going to be success?
Well, that's the thing.
Like, success? What is success? There's a lot unsaid.
There. I mean, there was the other day where he was asked, what kind of advice did you give the president in these Oval Office discussions about the war? And he's like, well, I'm not going to get into detailing the advice I gave Trump because I want the advice to remain confidential. That's fine. But it could have at any point in that answer been like, I support the action, but I'm not going to tell you. He's clearly trying to not get tied to this thing. I don't know. I find that really fascinating.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Does it seem like let's just do a little kind of armchair alpha sure. male analysis of body language there.
That's what I'm perfect
at. Does JD seem like he's giving Donald Trump a lot of real talk behind the scenes to you? You're just reading that? Does it seem like he's somebody that's like that is actually in private, you know, offering him critiques and criticism that he just doesn't want to share publicly? Like, cause that's what he's trying to say, is that like behind the scenes in the Situation Room, I'm giving real talk, but I don't want to, you know, in public, I don't want to offer that. And I don't think that that's true. It just doesn't appear to me very likely that that's true.
If I had to guess, he's probably not playing a very forceful role behind the scenes, right? He's probably just sort of not a wallflower or anything like that, but I'm guessing he's playing his cards close to the chest and supportive of the president. Maybe he did express reservations, but said, if we're going to do it, go big. But he's clearly trying to not get pinned down in any specific direction. He's not boosting this thing. Certainly not like Hegseth, for instance, is like all in. Like, he couldn't be more all in than Pete Hegseth, right? Even Scott Bessent's out there this morning riffing in weird CNBC interviews about how great it's going. It's the greatest thing. And like, there are other cabinet members who are out there, you know.
Yeah. Comparing this to like World War II, that's what Bessent was like. They're Hitler. Hitler's in the bunker. We've got him on the run. Like, that's
yeah, not, he J. said
Vance
that.
Wasn't like, doing J. that.
J.D. Vance is like, we're praying for the troops and, you know, don't try to make a, you know, division in the cabinet. That's like the lowest thing, the lowest bar to clear is what he's clearing. He's not saying I'm supporting this. He's
going to ask you one more thing about this. Sure. Putting on your old, you were an editor. Once
I am an editor.
You are an editor at a mainstream media news outlet. You'd remain an editor. Thank you. You're an editor in the corporate media who have different standards. They have different standards. And that's, you know, sometimes people shoot from the hip about like what happens behind the scenes. You've been behind the scenes there. And I want to ask you about this related to Vance. Politico reported last week. Vance is, quote, skeptical, is, quote, worried about success, and, quote, just opposes the war on Iran. A senior Trump official said via text message. So that's a full sentence that's in Politico.
Read that again.
Vance is skeptical, is worried about success, and just opposes the war in Iran. A senior Trump official said via text message. The official was granted anonymity to speak about the vice president's views. Okay. Is there any chance that that texter was the vice president? Like, what? How would that work?
No.
Attribution-wise?
No. I don't think that would that would not fly.
That would not fly attribution-wise.
You can't hide your attribution like that, at least not when I was there. Let's put it this way. A single anonymous source via text for that has to be serious.
It's a full story. It's Diana Naurasi and Eli Stokels.
And I trust them. I mean, the great reporters, it's got to be serious. And I'm not going to speculate on their sources.
There's a second source. You tell us. I just want to read you. The second senior Trump official said that his role is to provide the president and the administration, you know, all points of view of what could happen from many different angles. And, you know, he does that. But once a decision has been made, he's fully on board. So that, like, that second senior official to me seems like a spokesperson, a representative of the of Vance, right? Like they're spinning. So like the first person remains a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, no, if I had to guess, it's like considering the quality of the reporters too, it's sourced. Now, is it self-serving sourced? Yeah, probably. But like, here's a little bit more behind the curtain stuff. Like this happens, people should understand, this happens a lot. Like, you know, different camps want to get at their worldview and they try to work reporters to do it. And I was an editor on a piece during the Biden administration around the VP's office where similar skepticism around what was happening in Gaza was part of the piece. Okay. And editors have to take into consideration the motivations of their sources. And we spent a lot of time belaboring that piece about Kamala Harris in Gaza, a lot of time, because we were wondering about the motivations of sources. So that's all I'll say about that.
And so your point was you spent a lot of time because you're trying to figure out, like, is it true that the vice president had real issues, or are they just saying that now to try to save face? That was what you were kind of trying to
are they do they out. Want to use us to make it clear to the public that, oh, in fact, behind the scenes, so-and-so is actually quite skeptical. And you do that on every story, and you have to judge the motivations of the sources, the quality of the sourcing. It's a parlor game. And it's a difficult one for the editors and the reporters. And I'm based on the quality of the reporters on this, I'm assuming they went through the entire trappings and, you know, kicked the tires and all that stuff.
Right. We'll keep monitoring. Interesting stuff from the vice president's office today.
For sure.
Subscribe to the feed. Tell your friends. I'm sorry that we did not record Sam Stein's meltdown at the beginning.
I'm feeling a lot
better. Could have been a Bulwark Plus. Could have been a Bulwark Plus offering. You can join us and be a Bulwark Plus member on Substack or on YouTube. We'd love that. We'd appreciate your support. We do have bonus offerings. And the next time I catch Sam cussing and throwing things, I will make sure to record it, and you will get that access. So, thank you guys. We'll see you soon.
Later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.